Take your Bible this evening and turn to the book of Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. And once you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 3. And I want you to find verse number 8. And then, if you would please, why don't you stand with me? Someone asked me, they said, "Preacher, why do we stand when we read the Scripture?" Well, in the Old Testament, they did that quite often. They stood, and that was out of reverence to the Word of God. And then we stand because, you know, the lesson takes, usually about 40 minutes or so. It gives you a chance to stand up and relax a little before you have to sit there through 40 minutes worth. And so that's why we do it. Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse number 8, I'm going to read through verse number 13. The Bible says this, "Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their hearts, they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Now look at verse 15. "While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight as we look at another destructive behavior. Might we be better because of this evening's lesson, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is our third lesson about this subject of destructive behavior. Week 1 and week 2 were part A and part B on the subject of rebellion. Tonight, the lesson is on this subject, hardening your heart, or the hardening of the heart. And it's something that you and I as Christians can be guilty of, and it's a destructive thing. If you have your Bible, well, let's do this. I'm going to read to you from Jeremiah chapter 19, if I could. I'm going to read to you just a verse or two. Let me find it. In Jeremiah 19, verse number 15, there's a verse here that I want to point out to you. And it again, if you were listening earlier when we were reading there from Hebrews chapter 3, the word harden was used more than once. In Jeremiah chapter 19, verse number 15, it says this, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words." Notice God said, I'm going to bring judgment on a group of people because they've hardened themselves. So it's very obvious this thing of our becoming hard can bring destruction to us. Obviously, then, it can bring destruction in our lives. Now, three times in Hebrews chapter 3, God mentions the Christian becoming hard. In Hebrews 3:13, it tells us that we become hard as a result of the deceitfulness of sin, which means this, hardness in the Christian, maybe it sneaks up on us. Maybe it sneaks into our life. Hardness slithers into our attitude and into our behavior. And God knows we live in a hard world, and it seems to be getting harder and harder. Let me warn you, hard workers can be hard people. You know, you work hard all the time, and if you're not careful, that throwing yourself into things and that the hard push forward, it can then it can become a part of your attitude, and then you can become hard on people and hard in attitude. Those who have faced hardship in life, if they're not careful, they can become hard. Now, I'll make a couple of comparisons in just a little while. It's okay to be strong. We're supposed to be strong. But God didn't want us to become hard in our attitude and hard in our lives. Those who have accomplished that which is hard, if they're not careful, they could become hard-hearted. Why? Because when you do that which is hard, you're challenged by it, and it takes intestinal fortitude, which is a fancy way of saying guts. It's getting in there and making things happen. But if we're not careful, then we can become harsh in the way we handle people and handle things. When we use the word hard here, we're seeing it as a negative behavior. That's how God is describing it in the Scripture. It's a hard heart opposed to having a soft heart. A hard attitude opposed to having a pliable or a moldable attitude. Let me help all of you. And I meet a lot of Christians that face what I'm about to teach. If you were raised in a hard home, if you were raised around hard people, then harshness and being hard, it's awful easy for that to become your way. But I have to tell you something. That doesn't make it right. You say, well, my dad was mean. My mom was mean. And therefore, I'm mean. Okay, I'm sorry that mom and dad were that mean. But when you say, that's why I am the way I am, I'm glad you're willing to face that you are that way. But that doesn't justify being that way. I could give you testimony and tell you all sorts of stories of Christians that grew up in a home where mom and dad were alcoholics. But the children are not alcoholics, and they did not have to follow in the footsteps of those parents. But I do realize that if you grow up hard, it's awful easy to develop that hardness in how you handle yourself. It's easy to pick up on it. It becomes, if you will, natural. But you and I are not supposed to live a natural life. You say, well, what are we supposed to live? A supernatural life. There's a difference in being strong and being hard. To be a strong person is good. To be a hard person is not so good. There's a difference in being bold and being hard. We are to be bold in our Christianity, but we're not supposed to be hard in our Christianity. There's a difference in being courageous and being hard. We're to have good courage. But God said, I don't want you to be hard-hearted. I don't want you to be hard-faced. I don't want you to have a hard attitude. Are you hard? Are you becoming hard in heart? Are you behaving in a hard fashion? The sermon tonight is number 3 in our series on destructive behavior. Hardening of the heart or hardening in your life. It's going to be very simple. It'll be very practical. Here we go. Number 1, you can harden yourself. You can harden yourself. In Job chapter 9, verse number 4, it uses these words. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. Here, it uses the words hardened himself. Having a hard heart is a choice. It's your personal choice. I'm going to promise you something. You say, what I faced made me hard. Okay, there is somebody else that faced identically what you faced, or worse, and they're not hard-hearted today because they chose not to become hard. And remember, we're using hard. It's a negative. God said you've become hard in your heart, opposed to being soft and pliable and gentle. So, having a hard heart is a choice. If your heart is hard today, that's not somebody else's fault. I would not make a good psychologist or a good psychiatrist, because I will not let everybody blame everything on somebody else. You know, if Jeff Owens loses his temper today and cusses, do you know whose fault that is? It's not the guy driving the other car. It's me. I have to take personal responsibility. And one of the things they don't want to do in modern psychology is have anybody take responsibility for their own actions. Well, you know, everybody's going to die and go to hell for their sins. And if you go to heaven, it's because you trust Jesus Christ. And if you're going to conquer what's going on in your life, I'm going to guess there's not going to be a whole lot of people pitch in and help out. You're going to have to do it yourself. And of course, Jesus' help and the Christian brethren will help. But bottom line is, you're going to have to do it. That's just all there is to it. It's not somebody else's fault if you have a hard heart. Maybe they contributed to its potential. Absolutely. But you're the one that had to make the final decisions or the progressive decision to become hard in your heart. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 22, it says, "And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them." I believe that Pharaoh, in this passage of Scripture, became hard toward the man of God. And once he started hardening his heart, the Bible says that God actually helped him, let him harden his heart. But Pharaoh hardened his heart. He hardened his heart toward the man of God, Moses. He hardened his heart toward the Hebrew people, God's people, the brethren. If you know the story of Pharaoh from Exodus chapter 7, he eventually hardens his heart toward God himself. But I think he got mad first at Moses, and that made him hard in heart. And then he got mad with the Hebrew people that were following Moses, and he hardened his heart some more. And then he gets his heart hard with God. And you know, there's a verse that I'll share with you all the way in the end, and it talks about he that being often reproved will harden his heart, and that and shall be destroyed. Shall harden his heart and shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let me tell you something: you harden your heart enough, God will just let you do it, and you'll bring destruction upon yourself. And that's what happened to Pharaoh. Pharaoh got hard, and then he hardened more. He chose that hardness, and it destroyed a lot of people in his kingdom. Folks, don't allow yourself to become hard. And if you've got a hard heart, don't allow yourself to stay hard-hearted. If it is that we can make a decision, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something about the ministry. I got called to preach when I was a 16-year-old boy. I am 57 years of age. I've been preaching for 41 years. I've had a vicious, terrible, nasty enemy for all these years. His name's Lucifer. And he's tried everything in the world to destroy me. Now, you have the same enemy, but I take what he tries to do to me real personally. So he's tried to destroy me, and I tell you what, he's tried to make my heart hard. It's just one of the things that he's wanted to do. I can remember times when going through battles, when those verses about love your enemy, I'm thinking, I hate those verses about love your enemy. Oh, wow, why is that in the Bible? Hey, and it's easy to preach to love your enemy when you don't have one. But boy, when it's coming on you, and you know, there have been times when I've gone through battles that I could have seen my heart getting hard. And I think it was the devil's plan to make my heart hard. And I had to say to myself, don't let this destroy your compassion. Don't let this cause you to become mean and hateful. My pastor told me, he said, you will go through battles like you're not going to believe. He said, they'll do one of two things to you. They will either make you hard and nasty or make you soft and pliable in the hands of God. He said, you'll have to choose. Well, knock on wood, praise God that thus far it's not made me hard and nasty. But folks, let me ask you a question. What came in your life? Now you're hard. You're hard. And hardness is a choice. It's a choice. He hardened himself according to the Scripture. Number two, don't harden your face. Your face. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 29, it says, a wicked man hardeneth his face. Notice again, it's a choice. Here's a man chose to harden his face. Again, Proverbs 21:29 says, "A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way." The wicked harden their faces. Did you know that your face is the billboard of your heart? It advertises on the outside what's happening on the inside. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 3. It says, "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock." That's how God described it. He said, you look at them, and when you look at them, you can tell they're hard. Their face is hard, and you can tell it. You understand how God described it? Face harder than a rock. And if you were listening to Jeremiah 5:3, it said God spanked them, but instead of softening them, they got harder. And it said there, he uses these words. He said, "Thou hast consumed them." In other words, God said, I took things from them. Didn't change them. They just made their face as hard as a rock. So these people refuse correction. God, he spanks them. God, he takes from them, not to destroy them, but hoping that they would realize he's in control, he's in charge, but it just made them mad. It just hardened them. Folks, listen. If you're saved, tell your face. Smile. Learn to laugh like everybody else. That's a choice. And if you can't laugh and if you can't smile, you have chosen to make your face hard, which is an outward revelation of an inward weakness, which means you're hard at heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the face smileth or not. Have you decided to let no emotion be allowed on your face? Can people read any compassion by merely looking on your face? Can people see the joy of the Lord on your face? Or is your face cold, hard, impersonal, hateful, rude, mean? I don't know what it means to have a face as hard as a rock, but I've got a good idea. We just described it. Our faces, people, we are an advertisement. The children in children's church sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." I don't think God intended for me and you to walk around with our finger in the air all day long doing this right here. Right? What's going to shine? Your face, your attitude. The average person that would see you away from the church property during your day, would they look at your face and think there's something different about you? First of all, I said this. The Bible very clearly teaches that we harden ourselves. It is a choice that we make. Secondly, God said, don't harden your face. We can see on your face that hardness. Thirdly, the Bible teaches that we should not harden our necks. Don't harden your neck. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1, it says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Now, notice, we're talking about attitudes of destruction. And now we're talking about this thing of becoming hard. The neck. You say, to what does that refer? Well, most of the time in the Bible when it talked about the neck, it was talking about the neck was used for a yoke. A yoke. They would take two cows and put a yoke around the two cows' necks so they could pull a plow. You've heard the terminology in the Bible, a yoke of oxen. The neck was used then as a guidance device. So they'd get that yoke and put it around the neck, and then the farmer would pull the reins that were hooked to the yoke, and it would guide or direct that cow or many cows. When the Bible talks about you and I not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, it's talking about me and somebody else being attached in life and pulling in the same direction. Now, when the Bible says don't harden your neck, the neck controls the movement of the head, which controls the movement of the rest of the body. So a hard neck is a sign of somebody's hard thinking or their sinful bullheadedness. It's a pride-rooted hardness. It's a sinful stubbornness. And boy, I've met some very stubborn people. Stubborn to the point of being sinful. Now, remember earlier I told you I think that we ought to be courageous, but not hard. I think we should be strong, but not hard. That hardness of neck means you won't be guided like you need to be guided. You won't let someone help you to maneuver through life. And that might be someone that's a human being that maybe has a little wisdom that you don't have, or it may be God. I don't know. But the Bible teaches you and I are not to have hard necks. I found this passage of Scripture. It says in 2 Kings 17:14, notwithstanding, they would not hear, but harden their necks like to the neck of their fathers. Be careful, parents. Hard-necked parents can produce hard-necked children. Notice there was a comparison here. He said they are hard-necked like their parents were hard-necked. They wouldn't be controlled. They wouldn't be guided. You know, one thing I wanted my children to see when they were growing up, I wanted my children to see that I could be controlled. My children knew that I respected my bosses. They knew I highly respected my bosses. And when I went to work, I did what I was told. And I wanted my kids to know that. I didn't come home and vent and tell my kids how stupid the boss was and how bad the boss was. Never. They've never heard me. They have never heard me ever criticize a boss, ever. You could ask any one of my kids. They never heard me criticize my pastors. I'm not trying to uplift me. I have no interest in Jeff Owens whatsoever. I'm just telling you, I didn't want my children to become hard-necked. I did not want to increase their potential of becoming hard as they watch me be hard as a parent. This passage of Scripture in 2 Kings 17:14, it basically tells us these kids picked up on their parents' hardness and they became hard like that. And earlier I told you, if you were reared in a hard way, you must make a choice not to be like that. I'm not asking you not to be strong, because I think you ought to be strong. I don't think you ought to be hard. I'm not asking you not to be bold. I think you need to be bold. But you're not to be hard. And so don't harden your neck. It said here that their fathers had hard necks, and the kids are hard-necked, and someone said, you just like your dad. And that's what they were saying there. And I'm not saying that about you, and I don't think you ought to say that about somebody else. I do think God has the right to say what God wants to say. And God said, He says this, notwithstanding they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers. In other words, they were doing what their dad did. Let me give you another passage of Scripture. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 16 and 17, it says, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of the wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion. Oh, wow. Evidently, this hardness can find its roots in this thing called rebellion. Remember, week number 1 and week number 2 of the series, we talked about rebellion. And we talked about how rebellion affects us. Now, we see here somebody has hardened their neck, And it is found in pride. It says they had a pride issue. And then it says they had a rebellion issue. And that's what made them hard. You say, well, I'm hard because of somebody else. You're hard because of you. We have a choice about our attitude. We have to pick it. But you got to be careful here, because God now is saying this thing called hardness, it could be part of your pride. It could be part of rebellion in you. And if nothing else, it's a rebellion about having the right attitude in life, because we're not to be hard. You say, well, I'm going to stay hard. Then you are rebellious in choosing to stay hard. So let me remind you what we've said so far. I told you, number one, we harden ourselves. Number two, we're not to harden our faces. Number three, we should not harden our necks. Let's go on. One of the most frequently taught portions of Scripture about hardness is the hardening of the heart. The hardening of the heart. Folks, we're not to harden our hearts. In Psalm 95, verse number 8, it says this, "Harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Hardened hearts produce a hard face, a hard attitude, hard words. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever is the attitude of the heart, eventually is going to become the attitude of the face. It's going to become the attitude of the mouth. It's going to be the attitude of the body language. So we're not to harden our hearts. And that's a command of God. That's not a suggestion. It's a command. He said, harden not your heart. A hardened heart produces what I'll call spiritual mischief. Listen to Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 14. It says, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." Two things happening here. Two ways that passage of Scripture could be applied. Here it says, someone with a hard heart will get into mischief. Now, it may mean that they will be easily fooled. They've gotten into mischief. But it probably means they become deceptive people. They fall into a deceptive lifestyle. Which means your hardness, from what I can tell, is creating a weakness in your life. You know, if my heart is tender toward the guidance of the Lord, I'm less apt to get in trouble because I'm willing to listen to Him if He's trying to warn me. But if my heart is hard toward in regard to listening to God, then the devil could throw something at me and I'm so hard that I won't listen to God when God tries to warn me. As a pastor, I got to tell you this, I can stand up and I can preach to someone and warn them about whatever you do, don't do this in your life. And they're so hard that they're not going to admit that's for them. So they walk right into the mess that I warned them about because their hardness would not allow them to listen to the teaching and the preaching and the guidance from the man of God, from the Word of God. So hard hearts produce mischief in the life. Not only that, people, and I love this because I love the practicality of the Bible. I don't see how some people can make it so boring and so hard to understand. To me, God makes it so simple. Listen to this. People with a hard heart, they don't usually realize their condition. Let me read to you from Mark chapter 8, verse 17. The Bible says, "And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not, yet neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" Here the Bible says somebody had a hard heart, but they didn't perceive that they had a hard heart. I'll tell you why. We call it other things. We want to describe it in some other way. But here someone had a hard heart, but they weren't getting it. They didn't understand it was them. Have you already been trying to reason through what I'm teaching and saying, well, my problem is not a hard heart. I'm not hard. I'm not hard. Listen, That's just like, man, if somebody's up there preaching on pride and you spend your whole service saying, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me, that's not my me. Well, somebody's preaching on humility and all the way through the sermon you're saying, yep, that's me, yep, that's me, yep, that's me, yep, that's me. And then someone says you're hard and you say, no, no, that can't be what it is I struggle with. Listen, here they could not perceive their hardness. They were spiritually blind to it. They were blind to their own condition. They were wrongly convinced that they were right. Are you hard and you don't even know it? Are you mean and you don't even recognize it? The Bible says, don't harden your heart, because a hard heart produces a life of mischief. That people that have hard hearts, they don't even recognize it. It says, perceive not, ye, your heart is yet hardened. Let me go on. Hard hearts will destroy a relationship. They will destroy a relationship. Let me read to you this. The verse I'll give you happens to pertain to marriage, but God is teaching a concept here when he talks about this hardness. In Matthew chapter 19, verse number 8, it says, he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And this is, when it's talked about the putting away of the wives, it would be akin to modern-day divorce, if you will. But what it says, because of the hardness of your heart, there was a relationship that was destroyed. Boy, is that not true. You know, most of the time, all a relationship needs is for somebody to give in and for somebody to want to heal. But at least if one would give in and do right, at least we would know their heart was not hard. But if there are two that can't get along, they both need to soften their heart and make confessions or make apologies and get it fixed. But boy, I have watched people say, well, I'm just not giving in on this. And it's over stupid things. But according to that scripture, a hard heart will destroy a relationship. Young people, if you let your heart get hard towards your mom and dad, you'll just wreak havoc in your relationship with your parents. Husbands, you get a hard heart towards your wife, and wives, you get a hard heart towards your husband. You get a hard heart towards some Christian brother, you'll destroy the relationship. Christian, you get hard toward God, you won't lose your salvation, but you will be one miserable Christian because your heart's hard. The heart here is not that blood-pumping organ that the medical doctor talks to us about. It is the seat of your emotions. Are your emotions toward something wrong and hard? You dig in emotionally with your husband, or dig in emotionally with your wife, or dig in emotionally against your parents. You become hard. You've got a hard heart. And God warns. He said, that'll bring destruction. Listen, our hearts are not to be hard. If your heart has become hard towards your mate, and let me tell you, to everybody in here, people divorce in their minds and hearts long before they divorce on paper, because of the hardness of the heart, marriages are destroyed. Because of the hardness of the heart, brethren destroy friendships. The hardness of heart, because if we had tenderness, we get it all cared for. But there's an emotional, hard stance that somebody takes, and they won't give in. They become hard. So, we are not to have hard hearts. But not only that. Number five. I think God warns us not to have hard speech. Have hard speech. A hard way of talking. In Jude, verse number 15, it says, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken. Now, here it's talking about hard speech. So, that means, remember, we got a hard face, a hard heart, a hard neck, we're hard-headed, and now he's saying it's going to produce hard speech. Let me ask you a question. Is there grace in your lips when you speak? Proverbs 22:11 says, "He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend." You know what's that song about? It's talking about learn how to talk gently. You know, you can disarm a war if you can talk right. You know, if I have somebody that's irate coming at me, I'm going to make one of two choices. I either want to disarm the bomb, or I'm going to make it worse and we'll have two bombs. You know what I work very hard at doing? Disarm the bomb. You say, "But I'm right and they're wrong." I want to disarm the bomb. That takes some humility. But here it says, "He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips." You should be gracious in your words. Let me tell you all something, by the way. You say, "Boy, that makes me feel weak." No, you're weak because you can't control your mouth. That's weakness. Strength is controlling your mouth. You are at your weakest point when you're blowing it off and yelling and screaming and being hateful. That's when you're weak. You're strong when it's coming at you, and you take it, you stay under control, and you pick your words wisely. The world's carnal strength is weakness with God. God's ways are not man's ways. God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. The Bible said, "You show me a man that can control his spirit, I'll show you a man that could dominate a city." But if not, it's like bomb going off. So we're not to have hardness of speech. Learn to get some tenderness in your voice. I'm talking about what you say. I'm talking about how you say it. Are you right but rude? Wouldn't it be nice if you were right and then you handled your right the right way? Do you add tenderness to your conversation on purpose? Let me tell you what I do. If somebody says something to me or does something to me, and I'm hurt and I know I'm in the flesh, let me tell you what I try to do. I try to distance myself from it. You say, "Why?" So I don't punch him in the nose. So I step back and say, "Okay, Jeff Owens, you know how you're supposed to behave. Get it under control. Then re-enter the situation." That keeps me from letting my flesh control me. Now, everybody's going to have a moment when you're going to be upset. And let me help some of you, even some of you married folks. Let me tell you a little something. When you flip your spouse's switch, and they're thinking, "What you just said could start World War III," when they're quiet for a moment, but you won't back down, they may be doing the spiritual thing of hesitating so that they don't get in the flesh like you're in the flesh. Married people, you don't have to agree with it, but I know it's right. There's sometimes when the spouse steps back to say, "If I respond, I'll respond the wrong way. So I'm going to be quiet for a second. I may need to go to my room for a moment to calm down before I start acting in such a way that I should not." But every once in a while, you got one that once they start, they just won't back off. "You talk to me. You talk to me right now." And I'm thinking, man, you really shouldn't be doing that because you're going to draw the carnality out of the other person. Now, so if they step back, give them a chance to get her under control. So, "He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend," which also teaches somebody that can control their mouth will have promotion in life. The king, it talks about the king will be your friend. It's not talking about Jesus. Jesus is your friend whether you watch your mouth or not. But a human king will not be your friend if you can't control your mouth. So don't harden your speech. Do you add tenderness to your conversation on purpose? I got to tell you something. When I do counseling, two people that aren't getting along, I'll just use a husband and wife, and this isn't a lesson about husbands and wives. It's just such a good illustration. When I do marital counseling, husband and wife will come see me, and what we do is we start out and have a word of prayer together, and then I tell the husband, "You know, go take a walk around the church for a little while. Let me talk to your wife for a couple minutes," and then I tell the wife to come in, and she sits down, then she leaves. leaves, and I talk to him for a little while, and we talk alone for a couple minutes, and we come back together for a powwow. Yeah, I got to tell you what I do. You say, well, why do you meet with them separate? Well, it just works out a little bit better for them to both be able to voice themselves without the other there. And I need to tell one what the other's complaint is, but I almost always have to reword it. You say, like what? When she says, he's a stinking worm of a jerk of a man. And then he comes back in and says, she feels like sometimes you act a little low. I reword that thing. You say, what do? I take the bite out of it. I take the poison out of it. I still get the point across without starting World War III. And there are sometimes they'll tell me the same thing five times, but word it five different ways. Well, I only need to share it once with their spouse. And then I'll reword it, and I'll wrap it up a little bit to see if I can minimize this thing so we don't have to make it worse. Because as a counselor, I'm really supposed to make it better, not worse. But most of the time, and then I don't let people argue in my office. You say, why? You argue at home. Just go ahead and argue all you want at home, but we're planning on solving problems in my office. And so, you know, the whole idea is to get the grace in the speech. And we shouldn't have hardness in our speech. I work at this thing. Now, words, they're my business. My poor wife, if I ever lose it and she gets it, man, am I good with words. I just feel so sorry for her. If I ever tell her off, she can really get it. Because I can talk a lot of words really quickly. And I mean, they can be like daggers. Again, I'm a wordsmith. It's what I do. I have to be very careful with my words. There are very, 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 very few people that have ever drawn me out. I'm very cautious with my words. You say, why? You don't want to draw me out. Mrs. Owens one time, she said, you work so hard to even get along with your enemies. I don't want to be there the day that they flip that wrong switch with you. You're just going to blow a lot of things up really quickly. I have to guard me. I have to work at that. And you know what? So do you. So do you. We are to be careful with our speech. Our speech is revealing. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, your facial expressions are seen. If you got a hard heart, your neck, you won't accept guidance. You'll put that nasty look on your face. You'll use those nasty words. Hey, can I tell you something? Gossip is hard. It's hateful. Do you speak controlled by kindness? Proverbs 31:26, speaking of a lady, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness. Do you know that you're breaking the law of God when you're not kind? We are to talk guided by the law of kindness. So, here's what we've said so far. We harden ourselves. We can harden our faces. We harden our necks. That's no guidance in life. We harden our hearts. We harden our speech. Let me give you one more application and then we'll be done. We can harden our minds. We can harden our minds the way we think. In Daniel chapter 5, verse number 20, it says, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kindly throne, and they took his glory from him. Now, here, because of a hardened mind, someone loses their throne. They lose their kingdom. They lose. And so you all know, those of you that are in leadership, be careful that you don't let your mind get hard, because you could lose your leadership ability in life. Here, someone lost their throne because they let their mind get hard. And I want you to notice that it finds its roots in pride. The words are, and his mind hardened in pride. The result, they took his glory and his kingly throne from him. So, God's saying the mind got hard because of pride. And instead of, pride says, I'll lift you up. But what actually happens, pride will knock you down. So, be careful that your mind does not become hard. In other words, you get to thinking you're right. No matter what. And don't let your mind get petrified that you're always right. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I believe that Jesus' mind was in total submission and total subjection to God the Father, to the Holy Spirit. He was the walking Word of God. But don't let your mind get hard. Hey, your mind should be courageous, absolutely. Your mind should be bold, absolutely, but not hard. Is your mind set like stone against something? You just, there are things that you and I are to stand for. But you want to be careful, make sure it's the will of God. Say, well, how will I know that? By the Word of God. The 100% for sure way to know is the Word of God. You say, but I feel. Your feelings are not a good way of making your decisions. Make them by the Word of God. Do you think kind thoughts? How hard is it? You spend your life trying to be kind on the outside while you're constantly battling your meanness and your hardness on the inside. Be careful. God said, I don't want your mind to be hard either. You say, I do pretty good. I smile and I laugh, and people would think I'm gentle and kind on the outside, but I'm really hard and mean on the inside. God is saying, don't let your mind be hard. People can't see your heart. It's on the inside. But he said, don't be hard-hearted. Don't be hard-mind. Don't let your mind become hard. Do you always think hard negative things about people? Hard negative things about every situation? God tells us that the mind can become hardened. And I want to recommend to all of us that we're careful that we don't... You ever heard folks talk about, use the term, set in their ways? You're set in your ways. Now, doctrinally, there's some things that we ought to believe that are in the Bible. They're set in stone. That's not going to change. But I've got to work on me all the time. There's always room for improvement with me. I don't want to have a hard mind. I don't want to use hard speech. I don't want to have a hard heart. I don't want to have a hard neck. I don't want to have a hard face. And I harden me. There are occurrences that come in life, and everybody has to live life. But again, I'll tell you something. There's somebody that's been through what you've been through. There's somebody that's been through worse than what you've been through, but they're not hard. So they reacted differently. I told someone not long ago, I said, your issue from now on out, because something hard has happened to you, your issue is not what's happened to you. The big issue is how will you respond to what's happened to you. It will either make you better or you'll let it make you worse. It'll either tenderize you toward the Lord or it'll make you mean and harsh. Folks, I don't think God gave any of us our burdens to make us mean and hateful. I think God gave us our burdens to help us to be tender toward Him. So, it says this in Hebrews 3:8, harden not your heart. It says in Hebrews 3:15, harden not your heart. It says in verse number 13 of Hebrews chapter 3, lest any of you harden through the deceitfulness of sin. Be careful. Hardness is destructive. A hard face, a hard heart, a hard mind. It's a behavior that is destructive. And in a day and age where there's a lot of hardness, you and I as Christians, we're not to be like that. We're to be strong, but not hard. We're to be bold, but not hard. We're to be confident, but not arrogant. We're to be confident, but not hard. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lesson number 3. Hardening ourselves. Ask yourself, Christian, have you become hard? Hey, see, I've been through some hard times. Well, okay. Maybe you need to catch it. Maybe you need to say, you know what, I'm a little harder than what I ought to be. There ought to be a little more tenderness, a little more compassion in my life. You immediately think negative. Now, I don't want you to think unwisely, not at all. But don't let your heart become hard. Don't let your mind become hard. Don't let your speech become hard. Don't let your neck become hard. Don't let your face become hard. Your words should not be hard. Don't let hardness destroy a relationship. Soften so that God can guide. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, I think I learned something that will help me. I think I can apply something that I've learned this evening from the Bible." Would you let God see your hand? We're going to have a very brief altar call. If you need the altar, I wish you'd come and use it. And let me tell you this. If you say, none of that applied to me, well, you don't recognize your hardness then. You don't recognize it. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar? You need a moment at the altar. You might need to come and say, "God, help my heart to stay tender. Help my heart to stay pliable. Help me to be gentle." And gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is actually power under control. Oh, you say, "I work in a hard place." I'm sorry. But don't you become hard because you work in a hard place. We live in a hard day. But we're not to be hard-hearted. And you say, "I'm in a hard situation." Okay. Be bold, be strong, be courageous, but don't be hard. Some of you need to learn how to season your words with grace and mercy. You snap at people and you say hard things. You're broken, not them. Get it under control. I have a whole sermon I preach. It's entitled, "Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control." You can be right and still be gracious. They can be wrong and you can still be gracious. They can hurt you, but you can still be gracious. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Oh my, there's the destruction.